unlike now, the football, we used to get at teams, you know, so teams knew that we were going to come at them for 90 minutes. It was none of this square passing them back, which the game's developed into now, with the goalkeepers probably getting more touches than anyone. We last person we'd want to give the ball to was either Clem or Tommy Lawrence or Frankie Lane if he played, because they weren't ever that good with the feet, because they could pick it up in those days.
Yeah.
So, you know, the game's changed, but I still think the atmosphere that we played in front of, because people were standing, I guess, which is a massive topic that they're still talking about, and at Liverpool in particular, will never be welcomed back. But just when people are standing, I think they're more vocal, you know. And obviously, I don't know, 26,500 in the Cop. I mean, it's down to 13, we see. So it's half the size now. So you've got to imagine twice as many people and maybe a couple of thousand in the boys' pen up in the top corner getting in for 35 pence, old pence, which was the future supporters' place. I mean, they used to get loads in there. I don't know. Health and safety would never allow all these things now, and rightly so. But in those days, it's the way it was.
So, I mean, it's an amazing career at Liverpool. For you, it's three league titles, two UEFA Cups and one European Cup right at the end. I think I'm interested to hear from you how you felt that Liverpool established themselves as a European force, because obviously winning a title is difficult, but they were the first European trophies that Liverpool ever won, which was when you were playing. So how do you think they managed to do that? I'm sure it's great players, but is there anything else that you think happened in that time that established Liverpool as the European force they are now, really?
Well, I think they'd had a dip into it with the first team, the Ron Yates, Ian St. John, you know, Tommy Lawrence, that era, they'd had a dip in it in Europe. So I think the staff were very wise. I mean, there's still a lot of funny stories with, you know, Ruben Bennett coming back and just could not pronounce the names of the Ferencváros players, to the point where, having gone to watch them, I think, twice, and travel wasn't as easy in those days, and they were actually behind the Iron Curtain. It's hard for people to understand that now, but, you know, it was always more difficult to get into Russia and East Germany and obviously Hungary and Poland and these places when the Iron Curtain was up. And he'd come back, having been three times, and he had a real Scottish accent, and he could not get his name, his lips round the words. And I can remember Bill Shankly saying to him, after he tried to get the fourth or fifth, and all the names sounded the same, on the Subutio board that we used to do the tactics on at Melwood. And Shanks just thought, hey, Ruben, forget it. It's how we play that matter. And we just went out and trained. And Ruben sat there as if to think, you know, I've flown to Hungary three times, come back. But, we had a lot of expertise with Bob, with Joe Fagan, with Ronnie Moran, and then later with Roy Evans, who switched just a year after I joined to the staff, having played left back a couple of times for the first team, I think, a few times.